What I have noticed so far about living as a minimalist lifestyle is not about having a perfect life or having it all together, but to remaining to be intentionally with your lifestyle. I learned from just watching a few influencers that they majority start their day by waking up between 6 to 8 a.m., whether they drink black coffee, tea, or eat blueberry oatmeal. Merriam-Webster defines minimalism as a style or technique as in music, literature, or design that is characterized by extreme spareness and simplicity. According to TheMinimalist.com, they define minimalism as a tool that can assist you in finding freedom, freedom from fear, freedom from worry, freedom from overwhelm, freedom from guilt, freedom from depression, freedom from the trappings of the consumer culture we built our lives around, real freedom. So during my time of me learning to understand what minimalism means, I sat down with a few people who even talked about their own lifestyle and how minimalism has changed their lives and being more intentional. And tonight's show, we're going to be talking about minimalism. What does it mean to others? What does it mean to anyone else? And how this approaches others in a way. So with my guest,
Lauren. Hi, my name is Lauren Linne, and I am a junior, and I transferred here in January, so this is my first fall here at Central State.
Everyone give applause to Lauren. Okay, what does minimalism look like to you?
You know, when I hear minimalism, the first thing that comes into my mind is an image. And it's like, you know, just think of a bedroom, and then you see like white sheets with like just the whole room is just the most plain color combination that you can ever think of, like whites and grays, and everything looks airy, but overall, it's like you have only the essentials. So you've got like your bed, and then you've got a closet, and then maybe a dresser or a desk to do your work. So I feel like in that sense, minimalism is just to be able to have the most minimal amount of things you can have. You know, just having the basic necessities without excess, or I mean in general, just with to not have an overflow of things or possessions. That means the same thing. I'm sorry.
Very interesting. How would you describe your room, and what kind of aesthetic do you use, like, you know, for I would say wardrobe, kitchen, bathroom?
See, you know, I feel like, I don't know, because some people actually are able to achieve their aesthetic. I feel like my aesthetic is ever-changing. Like, I remember I went through, like, a weird Rastafarian phase, like, at the beginning of high school. We're not going to talk about that, but I think right now mine is about comfort. So things that just bring me comfort and joy, that's my aesthetic. So a lot of that includes like surrounding myself with books that I like, or quotes that I like. So I have a tapestry in my room. Also colors that I like. So right now I'm more of like in my green phase. Like I like, you're into green too. Like I like things that remind me of nature. Mm-hmm. So, okay, hear me out. If you go into Target, right, they have this brand called Junkalo. So that's what I'm really into right now, is that it kind of reminds you of, like, the forest, the jungle, and nature, kind of a little bit of a tropical feel. Also, too, I really like patterns right now, but that's really what's kind of occupying my space, is like there's patterns, they're not too funky. It's like they're pretty basic. Like I think I have a giant rug on my floor that's like black and white with like zigzags on it, and then I've got some canvases up that add like a pop of color, and then my bedspread is like green, it's got leaves and stuff on it, and then I've got a bean bag. And the way I dress, I mean, sometimes I like to, you know, get a little fancy, you know, dress a little up to make myself feel better. But for the most part, because it's gotten colder, you don't see me in a sweater or two or something warm and zip-up-y. That's not a word. But, yeah. So, yeah, that's how I kind of describe my aesthetic. It's comfort, really, to me. I also, like, lately have been into Squishmallows, if you know what those are. They're these squishy, I don't want to say toys, because they're not toys to me. They're like these little pillow characters with little faces on them, and they come in different animals. Those. You see them children's aisle. Mm. Yeah, so, yeah, just surrounding myself with comfortable things. I'm trying to cultivate my space, especially since I'm on campus. Mm-hmm. Into a place where I actually want to be, because I don't have a roommate, even though I did want one. Originally, I kind of feel bad for not having a roommate because it gets lonely. But yeah, when I come to my room, I just want to watch movies and chill. Of course, I'm going to have to do homework at some point, but really, comfort is king right now.
Very interesting, because I've fall into the category of green aesthetic. Mm. It just happened to me like late last summer.
Really?
For some reason, one day I have an actual picture of me drawing this green stuff. Mm-hmm. And I remember me and my mom dropped my sister off on her first day at work, and I was like drawing different variations and layers to green. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden I get this weird thing like, oh, I'm liking the color green. Mm-hmm. Like I started buying a few clothes that has a little bit of green. Mm-hmm. In my bedroom right now, it's kind of green, kind of not, because it's a little off. But yeah. I do have like a little plant. It's not real. Mm-hmm. It's like for decorations, and it's like different colors of green.
Mm-hmm. At least you're following through, because I have no clothes that are green. I just like to look at green. I think it's because I miss being able to look at like nature and like really enjoy nature. Even though we're kind of in a cornfield, mm-hmm. I can't enjoy nature. I don't know, that the allergies have been allergering since I've been out here, and so I know I haven't been able to really like breathe and get like that true breath of fresh air that I feel like I've been able to get to in different parts of our country. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, green makes me happy, kind of calms my mind, so I'm trying to find things that remind me of trees and, you know, leaves and, you know, that kind of jazz.
Do you think that us college students should value the things that we have?
Absolutely. And we definitely should, because we're young. Well, most of us are younger, because one thing that I had to unpack, or I'm sorry, not unpack, bloop, bloop, one thing that I had to unlearn, like, throughout my experience and journey as a college student is that, you know, nothing you ever do is going to be for certain. Like, you know, your major, you're not always going to want that major, or even just your path to getting a degree is not going to be as linear as you would hope it to be. So I say that because... Oh, I'm forgetting my point. My point is in here. Hold on. The things that we have are not always going to be there. And that includes, like, the paths that we take. So we should definitely value what we have when we have it before it. We no longer have those opportunities, or we no longer possess those things. So we should always value what we have. And then, you know, if we're in a place where we can't value it, whether that be, you know, I don't know, random nouns, person, place, or thing, we should reevaluate those things that we have so we can make room for things that actually benefit us. I hope I'm making sense. I'm also a little hungry.
No, I definitely agree with what you are implying here, because honestly, you know, I'm learning within this thing about minimalism mm-hmm. is to be intentional and to take your time. Yes, taking your time and just, you know, no need to rush, mm-hmm. but also, like, you need to let go of things that doesn't hold a lot of value.
So when you say things that don't have a lot of value, what type of value are you talking about? Because I know for a fact, for me, and I think my dad has it too, is just everything I own has some weird type of value. Like, oh, I can't throw that away because my third grade teacher gave me this pencil. I mean, of course, I've never done that before. But I feel like sometimes the reason why I'm not able to let go of things is because of sentimental value, whether that be like physical things or even relationships with people.
I think what that means, and everyone can take this their own way, mm-hmm. but what I feel like holding value can be something meaningful, mm-hmm. not something that, oh, you just got it for like a year and you don't really care about it, mm-hmm. you know. And I'm just now learning something about that too, because when I went home from break, mm-hmm. and my mom was helping me clean up my room, and she was saying, we trying to minimize a lot of things so we can have more space. Not only I'm realizing that I needed to minimize a lot of things in my room to have enough space, but there are a few people that I found that changed my perspective in ways of minimalism. For example, Matt Devalam, he speaks about minimalism, and he had a discover realization. And then Ronald L. Banks, he not only speaks on the topic of minimalism, but also setting goals. And I think it is a great way to help others thinking about going into minimalism. You know, just try it out for your own good.
It blew my mind. I didn't know that this was an option. Wait, so you're telling me I can intentionally get rid of my stuff? I just don't need to keep accumulating stuff over time? But I realized then that it's much easier to say yes to things, to accept things into our life like money, than it is to turn them away. I told everybody I knew about this story. Some thought it was interesting, most couldn't give a shit, but it didn't matter because this idea, minimalism, it resonated with me. My entire life, I had thought that there was only this one path.
The more you do something, the more of a habit it becomes. And you also start to learn some tips and tricks along the way. But when you try something new for the very first time, knowing what to do may be a little intimidating. So in this video, I'm going to share 5 beginner tips with you in case you're at the very beginning of your journey. And the first tip that I want to share with you is to always take your time. Now, we all know that change is the process of life, but change doesn't happen overnight. So changes in your life and aspects of your life also aren't going to happen overnight. So, you know, once you start to declutter the physical space around you, some of the material possessions that you have, the relationships in your life, the things that you consume on a day-to-day basis, I want you to take your time throughout that process. You know, I want you to be able to get a firm understanding of the things that you actually value and the things that you're ready to let go of. No one says that you have to become a minimalist, a full-blown minimalist, by tomorrow morning. Now, the second tip that I have for you is to set goals for yourself. And the reason you want to set goals is to have something to track against. For example, if you're getting ready to declutter your closet, say you have too many clothes and you're unsure where to start, you're nervous about getting rid of some of those items you've had for years, maybe set a goal for yourself. Say, hey, at the end of this week, I want to donate 5 t-shirts. Now you've set the goal, which is 5 t-shirts in 1 week's time. Now once you've successfully done that, you can challenge yourself a little bit more. Maybe it's get rid of 10 items in an hour or 50 items in one day. Set some goals for yourself. Have something to chase after. Now, the third tip that I have for you is something that plays into the minimalist mindset that you're also going to have to develop over time. But that third tip is to develop tunnel vision, but to also develop selective hearing. And the reason you want to develop tunnel vision first is because once you set those goals for yourself, the goals that I talked about in step number two, once you set those goals for yourself, you want to be able to focus on them. You don't want to feel distracted by the things around you, the material possessions and the worldly things in this, in our society. You want to be able to focus on those goals you set for yourself, to become a minimalist, to get rid of those items, to feel less cluttered, to be more intentional. Whatever that goal is, you want to be able to focus on that. But you also want to have selective hearing, because once you've made the decision to live a more minimalist lifestyle, you're going to have chatter in your ear. You're going to have your loved ones and the people around you, your friends, who don't know what you're doing or understand why you're doing it, given their opinion. You want to be able to selectively hear those opinions, but also focus on your own goals.
According to Civic Science, Portraits of Minimalism, women are neater of lifestyle than men, with respondents between 35 and 54 reporting the most interest in living a minimalist lifestyle, while lower income earners and adults under the age of 35 are the most likely to currently consider themselves minimalist. When we talk about the impact of pandemic job with experience in minimalism, they also say working as usual or remotely is 10% of those who consider minimalists. The 62% have no desire to become a minimalist, and 28% being the less. In a similar vein, those who are spending less are now most likely to think of themselves as minimalists, while those who consider themselves to be worse off financially and most interested in trying the minimalist lifestyle, according to Civic Science.
The core reasoning being that you're not afraid to get things, because I was so afraid to accumulate anything in my life. I just got a camera. I didn't want to be responsible for having a camera, because this camera, for example, was, I don't know, $600. And being responsible for something so expensive, I just thought, I don't want to do that. So I got a webcam. For the longest time, I was doing my YouTube channel on a webcam because that was less responsibility and it was small, compact. I didn't really have to worry about it. When I traveled or when I moved, it was easy to just put in my bag. No problem, no big deal. But I recently got a big lighting and I got this camera with the mic and everything. And a part of that, I wouldn't have been able to do it if I had my old minimalism mindset of just having less and less and less, and less is better. But sometimes more is better, depending on where you're at. The life of minimalism was so freaking toxic just because I was doing it for my fear of commitment and my fear of actually sticking to something and having that potentially not work out. And that's something that's just, it's scary. It's scary to accumulate things and it's scary to build upon something, having a foundation and building upon that. And I think a lot of people in big metropolitan cities maybe feel this way, but I actually think it's because we have deep-seated commitment issues. And because I grew up mostly in LA, I feel like that just was ingrained in me somehow, of that, like, don't let the man get you, and don't ever commit to any one thing. Just make sure you're always spread out all the time, just doing a bunch of different things, and you don't want to stay loyal to any one specific thing. And while I do think that eventually you want to build upon something, but without picking one thing that you want to pursue for a more longer term period, it's... How are you going to progress? How are you going to get better? How are you going to even see if this is something that you want to do in the first place, instead of just doing nothing and spreading shiny object syndrome and getting nowhere, essentially? And that's how I felt throughout my 20s. You do need people and things in your life to help build you up. You can go faster alone, but you can go further with people.
YouTuber Tina Letter made some great points. If you were considering minimalism but felt like less stuff, less responsibility, and more is better, then do what works for you. What I've learned about minimalism is to be mindful and intentionally with the things that you hold value in your life. Whether you are setting goals, creating a unique aesthetic, or curbing minimalism if that's not what you're not into. Maybe more is better. But remember, this is your life and make the most of it. This is Heaven Miller signing out.